Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, everybody say, above all else. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity, keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast with all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that as you teach us how to live, Lord, you would enable us to know how to maximize the way our life is conducted in order to bring you maximum glory. And Father, we thank you for the call to be literally guardians of this nation, guardians of our own personal galaxies that you put us in. And so, Lord, we're asking for your Holy Spirit to breathe life on these words that you wrote through your servants in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's a picture of the hero. I am Groot. Okay, can I confess something really quickly? I haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I saw Volume 1. Show of hands, those of you who have seen Volume 2, is it better than Volume 1? Yes? Okay, I will endeavor to watch it then. I don't have time, man. Just busy reading my Bible and worshiping the Lord and... Anyway, I heard, this is although Chris Pratt's character is supposed to be the hero, the main guardian of the galaxy, apparently he steals the show. I see his toys everywhere. This is Baby Groot. Anyway, so for those of you who are like me and don't watch movies because you're busy reading the scriptures, you may not have heard about this movie called Guardians of the Galaxy or Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, which is about this group of ragtag alien characters that come from different planets, but somehow destiny brings them together and they're called to guard the galaxy as the guardians of the galaxy against the evil forces. And so they're a very ragtag bunch of characters, at least from the first one, and I hear there's even more in the second one. But that's basically the theme of the movie. It's how they go about it. And there's, for those of us who grew up in the 80s, there's a lot of 80s music that features in it prominently. So that's in order to lure us in, because, us older people that have to take younger people to these sorts of movies. But I was just, thinking about, the word guardian and looking at the definition of what it means and how it relates to this movie and how it relates to, obviously, what the Bible has to say about guardians. And I looked at the scripture. The scripture actually says that guardian is a person who protects or defends something. A person who protects or defends something. Now, the root word of guardian is obviously guard. But if you look at the Australian definition, when you're looking at the population and the surveys, another term would be a caregiver, someone who has been given primary care, let's say, of children in particular. Like, if you are a guardian of a child, you are a caregiver. You're the one who gives care to the child, primary care, right? Are you with me? So, when we look at scripture and we look at guardian, there's a two-way flow of guardianism that I wanted to address in the message today, and we'll take this all from Proverbs 4, but the title of my message, basically, this is not one of the snazzy ones, it's Guardians of the Galaxy, on guard. Like, God is calling us to be on guard in our lives as the guardians of the message of the gospel and advancing it towards our world. Now, let's go to the scripture again. And we're just going to let the Bible speak for itself. I think that's the way we should always preach. Proverbs 4, verse 20 says, "My son," this is the King Solomon writing this, and he's writing it to a bunch of people that he is mentoring. And so he says here, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words." Now, as I say this, turning your ears towards his words, what I need you to understand is, for the most part, if you read through the book of Proverbs, you'll notice that this is the only book in the Bible that you can basically go through most of it and just take one verse and take it out and go, okay, that applies to my life, without looking too much at the context, because they're basic proverbs that for the most part are mixed. But there's certain portions of it, especially in the earlier chapters and in the latter chapters, that require some contextualization. So this is one of them. So this passage that I'm reading to you from verse 20 to verse 27, is a chunk that you have to read all together. And you'll notice that there's a lot of references to parts of the body, because when you are guarding something, you don't just guard it with your mind, you don't just guard it with your mouth, you guard it with everything that you have, because it's of that sort of value. So he says here, pay attention to what I say, turn your ear to my words. Now, when one of the things you need to note about Solomon is he is noted throughout history as the wisest man who ever lived apart from Jesus Christ himself, right? And so when the wisest man who ever lived says, turn your ear towards his words, how many of you know that it would be a wise thing to turn your ear towards his words? So let's turn our ears towards his words. It says here, do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. So the words that he's speaking, and obviously when we look at what the New Testament says about Scripture, Scripture is God-breathed. So it's not only Solomon writing these things, but it's the Holy Spirit through Solomon that's writing these things. God wants us to steward his word well. God wants us to take his word as holding so much value that it's worth guarding. How many of you know it's a waste of time guarding something that you don't value? You don't guard stuff you don't value. You're just like, nah, take it. I don't even want it. Like sometimes, how many of you ever own something that you're like, please take this? Yeah. Like you don't guard that. You give that away. With these words, he's calling us to keep them. Okay, to keep them, to hold them steadfast and not let anything like this out of our sight. He wants us to, and another way to say this, keep them in your heart, is another way to say this is to secure them in your spirit. So these words that he's speaking, and let me just carry this over to the whole of Scripture. Anytime God speaks something specifically to you, which is why we encourage you as a church, not for my sake, but for your sake, to take notes. And take those words that God is speaking through whoever's preaching or whoever's teaching the word and secure them in your spirit. Because the word can be snatched. You know, in Mark chapter 4, we have the parable of the good sower. Many of you remember this, that the word is sown, but it's sown on different types of ground. And the first type of ground, I won't go into the whole parable, we don't have time, but the first type of ground is where it doesn't break any ground. It's along the pathway, and birds come down and snatch the word out. What I would encourage you to do, whether you come to church or whether it's in your own devotional lifestyle, is to position yourself to receive and secure the word of God in your life. You know, for instance, just a practical handle. Like, you know, if you wake up in the morning and you read your Bible, how many of you struggle to get anything in because your eyes are struggling to stay awake? What you might want to do is wash your face, wake yourself up, do some stretches, do some bear crawls. I don't know what you do. And get yourself positioned. Have a cold shower or something. Wake yourself up so you can give full attention to secure the Word of God in your heart. And then even late at night, how many of you prefer to read the Bible at night? I've tried it. I don't do that. I do it in the morning personally, okay? That's up to you. But for me, I am not a night person. I used to be a night person. But in my age, you know, as I've grown older these days, the evenings when I've tried to study the Word at night, it usually starts well. But the book slowly finds its way under my head as a subsidiary pillow of some sort. Secure them in your spirit. Find ways to secure the word of God in your heart. Now, when we are talking about securing something, what I often think of is this image of a safety deposit box. Like when you go into these large banks where they have safes, and if you have something of ultimate value, maybe it's jewels or something that's been passed on to you from your parents' parents, and it's an heirloom of some sort that holds value, or maybe you hold a certificate to some sort of financial investment, and you can't keep it in the house, so you gotta put it in a safety deposit box. This is the way we need to treat the Word of God. Like we need to have it so secure in our spirit that when we need it, we know exactly where to get it because it's been protected. Do you guard the Word of God in your life? Do you treasure God's Word? I want to ask you today, what words do you treasure? What words have, how many of you know, like, you've been defined by words that have been spoken over you, that have been spoken to you regarding yourself? You know, people may have told you you're this, you're that, but then the Bible says that you are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. When you think about, okay, my uncle said I'm this, but the Bible says I'm this. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loves me. I've overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of my testimony, and not loving this life unto death. I am the head and not the tail, Deuteronomy 28. But my uncle said, I'll never make it. My auntie said, you're going to fail. My mom said, why were you even born? Which word do you treasure more? I want to encourage you, much like in Deuteronomy where God talks to Joshua and he says, I placed before you death and life. Choose life. Hint. Cheat code. Choose life. You can choose. It's up to you which words you value, which words you choose. He places before you that choice. And what's great about it is God enables us to go through healing through the work of the cross so that we can position ourselves to receive the words that he says about us. It's false humility when we walk in such a way where we think, you know what, I'm not worthy to be that. Yeah, we're not worthy on our own merit. It's not the worthiness that brings us in. It's his love first that brings us in to his presence. We love because he first loved us. And so it's his love that holds ultimate value. And what his words say about that ultimate value is what we need to value the most. So I want to encourage you and ask you the question, which words do you value more? Do you value what the word of God says about you? Or do you value what people have spoken about you? Even well-meaning people may have said stuff that limits you, that you know that's not true about yourself. Which words do you value? Let's go into it. Verse 22, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. That's a nice promise, right? Like, if you get these words in you, you're going to be healthy. Like, when you start valuing yourself the way that God values you, you start to treat your body differently. Oh, I'm just going to leave that there and you just figure that out. But they are life. God's word is always life to us. It's always life. As he speaks his word over us, it inflates us with life. It breathes new life into us. Are you discouraged? Get the word of God in you. Are you deflated? Get the word of God in you. Are you battling with depression? Battle with God. Let his word speak in and through you. But get word in you and watch it bring health and life to you. It's true. It's true. Now, not only does Solomon say, as the wisest man who ever lived apart from Jesus, okay, give attention to what I'm about to say. But this next verse is like the peak of Mount Everest. Because the wisest man says, pay attention to these words, but then this one sticks out because he says in these three words in verse 23, above all else. Okay? So how many of you know, again, let me come back to my earlier question. If the wisest man in the world says, pay attention to my words, we should pay attention. If paying attention is at this level, then he says, okay, above all that, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do, flows from it. Guard your heart. For everything that you do flows from your heart. Everything comes out of your heart. What's in your heart is going to come out. You can try to behave. You can try to act righteous. But if it's not the way your heart is, that's not what's going to come out. How many of you have been around somebody and it appears good, but then they get under pressure and then all of a sudden stuff comes out? And it's like, oh, let me pick that up. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to do that. That's because it's in your heart. Whatever's in your heart will be discovered under pressure. And the more pressure there is, the more your heart is exposed. Now, some of us would say, okay, that means that I need to guard my heart in such a way where I close it up. It's not necessarily what God means here. And I'll get to this in just a second, but let me just say this. When this verse is saying, above all else, it's top priority, right? But what guarding your heart means is to protect and defend that which is in your heart. Now, I need you to understand this. Get what I'm saying, because there's a two-way aspect to this. Yes, it's about protecting and defending, but it's also about the value that you place of the things that are in your heart. If the things that are in your heart aren't of much value, there's no point guarding them. So it starts with actually putting things of ultimate value in your heart. A basic question would be to ask you, do you have Jesus ruling in your heart? Because if you have Jesus ruling in your heart, you will guard your heart because that's of ultimate value. But if you don't have Jesus in your heart, or if you're playing religious games where you show up to certain things, Christian meetings, go to a life group, go to a Bible study, be around, you know, pretend to be a Christian, you don't really have that which is of ultimate value in your heart. And therefore, there's no point guarding it. But God wants us to guard that which is of value. But first, the first step is you have to put the one who is above all else in your heart, allow him to be the Lord of your heart, and then guard your heart. Are you with me? Because otherwise there's no point guarding that which is in your heart. It's not a question. That's why this verse cannot be subjugated on its own. You have to read it within its context. Jesus Christ needs to be Lord of your life. And if the one who holds ultimate value is Lord of your life and Lord of your heart, then that which is above all else in your priorities is to guard that deposit. Are you with me? Like, you don't go to your safety deposit box. Let's say you bank at one of the banks here. Let's just say Suncorp, right? You go to Suncorp and you go, okay, I've got a safety deposit box. And I just go and put some grass in there. So, shh, put that away. Guard that. Well, how many of you know that's the most stupid thing I could ever do because that doesn't hold any value? So before we put something in a safety deposit box, we have to see how valuable it is, before we even waste petrol to get to the Suncorp safety deposit place. Does this make sense? Are you with me? Like, you have to hold the one who has ultimate value, offers himself to be the Lord of your life. And if he is Lord of your life, therefore, anything that he says is worth guarding. But if you don't have him in your heart and have him in your life, then what are you guarding? Guard your heart. Now, the reason, for those of you who have Jesus Christ ruling in your life, the encouragement to guard your heart is because that which he has for you is of ultimate value. There should not be a tension between that which God says or Jesus Christ says is Lord or boss or the one who calls the shots in your life. There shouldn't be a tension that is evident between what he says and what the world says. Because that which he says is worth guarding and of ultimate value. So the reason why I say this is because there are going to be times, ladies and gentlemen, when your heart will be exposed towards wanting to desire things that are not of the one who has deposited the word in you that holds ultimate value that you are trying to guard. For instance, the word that he says to you about, let's say something relational, right? Like you're wanting to... You're wanting to be married, but, you know, we're kind of Christians, so we can compromise in certain areas. And the reality is that temptation is there, and there's that temptation to unguard your heart and say, oh, okay, we can go there a little bit. We can compromise in certain areas. You know, one day I'll marry you. But, like, the Lord would say, no, guard your heart because I have a certain standard which I've preached and shown you in my word, and I have a perfect design for marriage, and therefore I want to encourage you to guard your heart above all else, to not succumb to those standards. And it's not just because it's a standard. It's because it's going to break you. It's going to hurt you. That's not what you were designed for. So above all else, guard your heart. So this is important, ladies and gentlemen, for us to hold an ultimate priority, the guarding of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our hearts. For everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from it. Another way to look at it, right, is just by saying what you say and how you live flows out of what you have stored in the safety of your heart. It does not say, above all else, guard your behavior. It does not say, above all else, guard your mouth. It says, you know what, I'm going to go right at the source and encourage you from Scripture, above all else, guard your heart. Luke 6:45, some of you may not have seen this, and those of you in Leadership 2:15 will know that I always talk about, and I mentioned it in the sermon a couple of weeks ago, when you look at biblical headings, obviously, sometimes these verses are separated out. If you go to Luke 6:45, It says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure of his heart produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, yet don't do what I say? Those verses are sometimes separated out when you read the subheadings in your Bible. You can look at it right now, but you'll sometimes see those verses separated out, but they flow right into one another. Whatever's in your heart, if you are still on the throne of your heart, no matter how well you try to behave, that stuff's going to come out eventually. So, you know, and some Christians would say, okay, I need to change my behavior. No, you need to change your heart. You need to get a spiritual heart transplant. Don't try and say, okay, I'll try and swear less. No, you need a change of heart. You need to ask God, no, look, it doesn't start in my vocabulary. Because how many of you know you can use other words and still have the same heart behind those powerful words? It's just you've learned to say fiddlesticks instead of the other F word you used to say, food. You know, like you just... But it's the condition of the heart. God is after your heart, and above all else, guard your heart. For out of it will flow the issues of life. The way you live is dictated by what's in your heart. So don't guard it on a behavioral level. Guard it at a heart level. Because like the way you are with finances, for instance, will be dictated by what comes out of your heart. You know, like people are watching, so you feel like you need to act generous. So that's a behavioral thing. When we should be asking God, if you are Lord of my life, I want to be generous like you. Give me a heart like yours. And I'm telling you, like, when you ask God to give you a heart like his, God will give you plenty of opportunities to be generous. And you start to see what's in your heart. But the more rein you give him, holding ultimate value, the more you see the worth of the one you're trying to guard, his deposit in your life. Okay, now we're moving on the outward level. In line with that, verse 24, keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. So the first one was guard your heart. Second one is keep your mouth. Turn to somebody, encourage them. You need to keep your mouth. Say it nicely, say it nicely. Now, here's the difference between guarding and keeping your mouth. It's talking about keeping your mouth free from perverse talk, right? Now, I've got another picture here from Singapore. This is Gardens by the Bay. It's a beautiful garden. It looks exactly like that at night. This is a beautiful spectacle. If you ever get an opportunity to go to Singapore, it's just behind the Marina Bay Sands, the big boat with the big building with the boat on top of it. And this is like most gardens, and pretty much every tree in Singapore was planned by somebody. You know, it wasn't like accidental. It's just Singapore is one big garden, and this is called Gardens by the Bay. And what I love about it is like everything's pre-planned for generations to come. There are seedlings within the gardens that have been designed that eventually when they start to bloom in years to come, they will sprout in such a way that it will accentuate certain colors and certain things. And those two big domes on the left are literally two massive glass houses that you can walk through. And they're different in the nature of the temperature and the way they water the plants. So there's different flora and fauna that grow in those two domes. Now, of course, because it is so well kept, it requires guarding again and keeping. So when you walk around this garden or you walk around our Brisbane Botanical Garden, now that I've shown you this garden, you're kind of like, oh, I don't want to. Few million dollars difference in the budget. But like you walk around our garden here in the city, which is beautiful in its own right, you'll notice that there's always people taking care of it, keeping it, tending to it. And this is what, not only is he calling you to guard it, but like with regards to keeping it, it's likening it to like letting weeds grow and sprout out in these gardens like this, right? You don't want weeds to grow in your spirit and in your heart. So not only is God calling us to be a guardian of our heart, but he's calling us to keep our mouth, keep our heart. See, if we keep our heart free from weeds, those weeds won't sprout out from our heart to our mouth. Sometimes those weeds grow and yeah. How many of you have ever, you know, caught yourself, you catch those weeds and you're like trying to pull it back, it's too late, it's already been said. or you try to delete a Facebook status because you said something you didn't mean to say and stuff like that. Not that anybody's done that in here. But God wants us to guard our hearts, but also to keep our mouths. Now let's move forward. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. So we're called to guard our hearts, called to keep our mouths, and then thirdly, we're called to fix our gaze. Fix our gaze. Our gaze is different from our glimpse. Our glimpse, we just catch it and move on. Our gaze is that which we are focused on, that which our eyes have constant focus on. Now, Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, for us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Fix our eyes on that which is most valuable. What are you fixing your eyes on? Like, what takes up the most of your time in terms of the vision of your eyes, literally, and your heart? Like, the heart eyes. What do your heart eyes see as, like, your primary goal? If you're a Christian, your primary prize is Jesus Christ himself. But in this world, our primary goal may be something else. You know, maybe it's career. Maybe it's financial advancement. Maybe it's, man, you know what? I just want a nice spouse, a nice house, and maybe, you know, some kids and a nice job, and that's cool. That's not what God created you for. Like some of us, that's our fixation. That's what our gaze is fixed on. Nice house, nice spouse, and a nice blouse for the ladies. You know, just that's it, man. That's as long as I get these things, I am happy. Let me tell you, there's a lot more happiness than that that God wants to bring. And there's a destiny and a purpose that God wants you to fix your gaze upon. Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing that I ask, that which I will seek after, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gaze upon his beauty, not glimpse, but gaze upon his beauty, and inquire in his temple. What is your gaze fixed on? Let me say this too. As Christians, often our gaze is fixed on something that we're supposed to do, but we see or perceive a certain way when we miss we actually miss the point. Did you notice that in humanity, the way that Jesus Christ entered the world and the way that the Pharisees were expecting him to enter the world were two completely different ways? He came in a manger. They were expecting him to come in majesty. Sometimes we'll miss it. On the screen, if you look carefully, some of you will notice it right away, and some of you won't notice it, but on the screen is an image, and if you look at the image, there is a five-pointed star in that image. Can any of you see it? If you see it, put your hands up. Don't lie in church. I'll give you about 20 seconds to find it. For those of you who are listening, by the way, a podcast, I'm sorry. It's not going to make much sense. Okay, if you can't see it, that's where the star is. Now, here's the thing. I did not say anything about the shade of the star being a certain way. My point is, like, some of us are looking to make disciples a certain way. We're fixing our gaze a certain way when the ones that God wants to bring our way are right in front of us. But we don't see them the way that God sees them. We see them shaded a certain way. So we're like, yeah, let me keep reaching out outside of myself when God's provided people right around you that need help, need development, need Jesus. How many of you know you don't need to go far to find people that need Jesus? Oh, well, I can't wait to go on the next missions trip. Pastor Nelly, tell me when the next missions trip is on, and I'm going to go there, and then I'm going to reach people. How about right here in Brisbane, right in front of you? Oh, I don't see them. Where are they? They're right in front of your face. They just don't look like stars yet because they're shaded in a certain way. Hello? But God has put people around us that as we fix our gaze on him, he'll begin to reveal who the stars are that God has called us to reach. But we miss it sometimes. We miss it sometimes because we are looking and we perceive that stars are supposed to look a certain way. And some of us may miss Jesus in those opportunities. Now, many of you know in the book of Matthew, Jesus talks about it himself, right? Like there's a guy who comes up to Jesus and Jesus says to Jesus, when did we see you? We didn't see you. And Jesus says to him, when you visited me in hospital, that was me. When you visited me in the prison, that was me. For if you do as you do unto the least of these, you do also unto me. So as you fix your gaze on Jesus and you guard your heart, because if he's in your heart, he begins to shift things so that you can be able to see the world the way that God sees it and not see it the way you and your preconceived notions, or me and my preconceived notions may see a thing. God wants us to fix our gaze on Him. And sometimes it requires us to have a little more attention on the things that are right in front of us. Some of us are asking for the nations when the nations are right at our doorstep. Hello, family. Some of our unsaved family need to hear the gospel. And we're like, no, I just want to reach out to the nations. And you're like, man, what about the people right in front of us? What about the people that around us that need God? Something about making disciples, something about evangelism that you may not have discovered yet. And if you haven't, here is the spoiler. The spoiler is that the people that we reach are never going to look like stars when we reach them. And if they already look like stars, you're reaching them with the wrong purpose anyway. Because usually it's to point towards your desire for stardom and an Instagram photo for yourself. What God really wants from us is to fix our gaze on Him. I'm going to end just by looking at these last two verses here. Verse 26 and 27. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet. Be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. The Lord really wants us. And hopefully you've been able to hear it firstly here. To guard our heart. For out of it will flow the issues of life. Number one, guard your heart. Number two, to keep our mouth away from perverse talk. And then thirdly, to fix our gaze on Him. My question today is, number one, is Jesus Christ the God who holds ultimate value, ultimate knowledge, who is our ultimate creator and our ultimate destiny? Is He the Lord of your heart, Lord of your life? And what that looks like is that you, the way you live, which is my second point, to keep your mouth, the way you live and the way you speak and the way you act puts that Christ that is in your heart on display. Remember, the wrong thing to do here is to say, God, I just want to try better. No, you need to ask God for the grace. As He reigns as Lord of your life, ask Him to empower you to live righteously. Don't try and do this on your own. That's self-help. We're not called to guard behavior. We're called to guard our hearts. And then thirdly, God wants to adjust our gaze like an optometrist with an eternal perspective. God wants to align our focus so that we can see heaven and the ultimate God of all the universe as our main objective, the main one whom we fix our eyes upon.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.